So we see a church. This is the vision statement of your church. We see a church that is real, welcoming, and life-changing, committed to connecting people to God and each other. Now, that's who we are. It's not necessarily vision, but it's about culture. It's about who we are. It's about the way that we are. We want to be real. We want to be unpretentious. We want to choose to live lives that are large enough and spacious enough and attractive enough. And by that, I don't mean you've got to be some sort of model. I just mean you've actually got to, you know, Jesus called us to live a life that we enjoy and a life that is attractive to other people, not because of how we look or what we've got, but because of Him in us. Jesus in you is attractive. Jesus in you is something that people want to be part of. And so we want to live lives that are spacious enough that people can be part of that. And I've been talking about that in the lead up to Vision Sunday. A church that is so consumed by the power of the Holy Spirit that it can't help but shape and influence the future of our city and beyond. Now that's the God factor. That's the God factor. We can get together as a group of people. We can have great vision. We can have great strategy. We can do all sorts of things. But you know what? If we haven't got the God factor, you know, we might as well be a sports club. We might as well put our efforts into AFL or supercars. Whatever it is, you know, we that's the difference. We are a church. We are the bride of Christ. We are plan A for Jesus Christ reaching humanity. He doesn't have a plan B. He has the local church. That's who we are. And we have got to have the God factor about what we do. We've got to have the God. With the difference between us planning things and thinking, yeah, that could work, and it really moving and changing our city and beyond is the God factor. Is the breath of the Holy Spirit on it? How does He? Is He just come on us as a church? Well, in some ways, to a point, but ultimately, He comes through us. He comes through people. It's about us being open and wanting the God factor in our lives. We are called to influence and shape the future. You know what? We want to help you and equip you to be a kingdom influence in whatever sphere you are called to. You know, as a church, when we gather here on Sundays or whatever day we gather, you know, it really is, and we've used this analogy, it's like being in the coach's shed. It's like the main game is not everything that happens here. The main game is life. The main game is where you are most of the week. That is the main game, and we want to inspire you. We want to walk with you. We want to help you, and we want to equip you for the main game. That is the sphere of life that you're called to. A church that is sold out for the cause of Jesus Christ, that boldly and passionately proclaims Him as the hope of the world. A church that continues to grow significantly in number and influence. How? Through authentic relationships. If we're going to grow, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about that as I go this morning. If we're going to grow, it's not just through, you know, having a nice stage, great lights, and the fact that we're blessed with a venue that we can develop. It will grow. We will grow through authentic relationships. In other words, we will grow because people are attracted to Jesus in us. People want to be part of that because there is that God factor in us, something that they can't find anywhere else. That's really important. We'll grow significantly in number and influence through authentic relationships, impacting worship services and a thriving network of connect groups. We're going to focus a little bit more on our connect groups today. A church that has the freedom, faith, and courage to outwork the message of Jesus in their community, restoring spiritual, physical, and emotional hope. We want to look at people holistically. We want to walk with you in a holistic journey. It's not just about, you know, being a really spiritual person, you know, walking around and not being in touch with reality. And if you've got stuff going on in your body, you know, we've got to be looking at that. We've got to be together. We've got to be caring for people in that. We've got to be caring for people emotionally. And these things are all connected. We are holistic people. A church that is committed to developing leaders. You know, I could this morning sprout off all sorts of vision and some of the things that I see and feel for the future. And I'll let you into some of that this morning. But unless we actually develop and go together and raise leaders, you know, vision is just there. It's just something out there. But the reality is people that carry that vision, people that actually dare to step up and lead and are part of shaping this city and beyond in the future, is committed to developing leaders who will build the church and impact and influence society with the courage, strength, power, and love of Jesus Christ. That's your church. I don't want us to not enjoy the journey. If actually Jesus didn't want you to enjoy the journey, he would have taken you to heaven as soon as, you know, if he would have taken you to heaven straight away, as soon as you accepted him. But you're called purpose, and he's called us to live these attractive lives that build the kingdom. So let's enjoy it. And Isaiah 43:19, we've been talking about that a lot over this whole journey to where we are now and where we're going. It says, "For I am about to do something new. See, I've already begun. Don't you see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland." So he's doing a new thing among us. He's already begun. He's leading us into the new, into the future, new opportunities and new roads. And we did talk about that as we've been sowing vision this year. But roads, what do roads do? They're cool to drive on, aren't they? But roads, you know, roads connect places and people. Roads actually take you somewhere. Roads take you to new places. Friday, I had to go up to a meeting in Launceston, and then and I actually brought a caravan back with us, so it was a much slower trip getting back. But it's interesting, you know, when you drive normally, you just sort of drive on the roads. But as I got back to Hobart and I had quite a large caravan, and as I suddenly got back to Hobart, and we got onto the Brooker Highway, and suddenly it was like this road that I was on was so much smoother. You know, the hot mix was really nice, and the caravan wasn't sort of wobbling up and down and doing the things that they do. And I'm thinking, wow, this is amazing. You know, all of a sudden it was like I'm nearly home. The journey's nearly done, and I so appreciated the road. And sometimes in life, you know, there's wilderness, there's rubbish, there's complications, there's stuff around. But you know what? God says that he's doing a new thing. He's going to create roads through that. He's going to create ways that connect you to your destiny and your future. He's actually going to smooth out some of the bumps for you. There can be, you know, when you drive to Launceston, you know, you look around, there are these rolling hills everywhere as you go through the Midlands and up over that. But you know what? The road actually smooths the path back. They cut those roads through. They take out some of the bumps and they enable us to get through in a much easier way. You know what? Jesus is actually creating new roads for you right now, where you're thinking, how am I going to get through this season? How am I going to get to the next thing? Well, he said, I'm going to make a road through the wilderness, a pathway through the wilderness. I will smooth it out. I will show you where to go. I will open it up. You've just got to step into the future and onto that road, and I will lead you into that. We're not where we were, but we're not at our destination. We're going into the new. We're on an exciting journey. Some of my worst and certainly best memories of holidays, work expeditions, missions trips, all sorts of things. The things that I remember most are not so much about the destination, but they're about the journey. I've got all these. I could tell you this morning, you know, countless stories of things that have happened in airports and, you know, hotels and cars and all sorts of things that are all part of the journey. Years ago, when my brother and I first started getting into water skiing, and he bought this little boat. It became a little red boat. It was sort of became sort of quite synonymous with Andrew at the time, and it had a lot of problems when we bought it. You know, we started with sort of a little bit of money that we could that he could rake together to buy this boat. And then we started working on it to try and make it do what we wanted it to do. And we set ourselves a goal. Every year, the people that were our friends used to go water skiing on the Pyman River. And that's in the beautiful, you know, western wilderness in the northwest of Tasmania. And back in those days, it was quite a long way to get there. You had to drive down to Burnie and through the Helier Gorge and these winding roads. And Andrew had all he did getting there was work on the boat. You know, he put a new motor in and did all this stuff, and it was just, you know, he was working on it literally to the moment we hooked the thing on the tow bar of the car to drive off and head down to the Pyman River. And I was sort of doing other things. And one of the things I did was change some wheels over on my car because I thought, oh, the tires are a bit bald. And I put some wheels off another car that we had. And being in such a hurry, I didn't have the right wheel nuts for it. And I was going to go back and get them. And I did number one dumb thing, never put them on with the wrong one. And I did that. Anyway, and off we are. We've driven all through the Helier Gorge, and we're nearly there. We're on the last bit of gravel road getting to the Pyman River. And I remember we go around this corner and the car went just a little bit sideways and I sort of, you know, straightened it up a bit. And that was okay. That was okay. But I looked in my mirror. Looked in my mirror and there was the back wheel of my car rolling past my rear vision mirror. And I thought, this is not good. Anyway, so that's okay. We gathered the wheel up and we found some wheel nuts and we opened the boot and the jack wasn't there. You know, all the carrying on and getting ready, you know, we weren't worrying about things like that. It was all about the boat and the motor and all that. So anyway, I think we ended up having to wait, and some of the boys started walking to someone came along with a jack and we got going again. But, you know, that was one of the biggest memories of that trip. We had a great time and a lot of fun and all that. But the things that actually stick in your mind are the things that happen on the journey. You know, I think what I remember, what I've learned, and what has impacted me mostly on these trips is actually more significant than the destination itself. I remember years ago, as a church board, we went to Nepal together. And we certainly remember the destinations because Napal Gunj, when we first went there, was a pretty confronting place. But there were so many things that actually happened on that journey, and it was a critical point for us as a church and as a board going to there together. There was relationship and there was a sense of doing things together that actually cemented things and actually set some things in place for the future, even what we've got now in the church. And that was all about the journey and the fact that we're doing it together. So we are going into the new. We're going to do this journey together. We haven't arrived at our destination. We're not where we were, but let's commit to the journey. Let's commit to going into the future together. At your church, we are going on an exciting journey into the new. Most of the miracles recorded in the Gospels happened when Jesus was on his way to somewhere. Often there was like he was called to go from here to there, and that seemed like the thing. And the disciples, you know, are very focused. Oh, yeah, we've got to get over there. But along the way, Jesus would stop. You know, in the middle of a crowd, you know the miracle of the woman with the issue of blood, and she presses through the crowd, and there were hundreds of people around, and Jesus stops and goes, "Someone touch me." And disciples are going, "Come on, Jesus, everybody's touching you." No. Somebody reached out. Somebody actually reached out with need, and I felt that. Who was it? And you know, when he stops, he's actually going to the house of somebody who was important. He was going to the house of somebody who was a bit of a big deal in the religious system. And the disciples are going, you know, this is our breakthrough. This is our opportunity. This is our moment to go from being a bit obscure to being mainstream. And Jesus stops. He says, right now, the journey is much more important than the destination. And you know, that woman was healed and her life changed around. Jesus knows that the journey matters. Your journey matters. when I came back, after I came back with this caravan, basically we've upgraded the size of the caravan we've got to make it work. We've maxed out the little caravan that we had. And we were talking about going to taking the kids on a holiday later in the year, and we've been talking about going to Queensland, and Alex's mum lives up there, so it sort of works. And I said to Alex, we could take the caravan. And she's going, you have got to be joking. That is my worst nightmare, driving to Queensland with kids in the car. The journey matters. See, I'm an adventurer, and I still had another way. I said we could go to the caravan parks during the day, kids can play, we can have a sleep, and we can drive all night. The journey matters. Come on, teacher. We need that. We need that pioneering spirit. Come on. Today we want to paint a picture of the next part of the journey, into the journey, into the future, a journey that is into the new, a journey. Yeah, sometimes we will be, you know, up all night doing something. You know, like I'm sure I was here yesterday in this building, and I saw what had to happen between now and this morning. I know that yesterday morning Josh was at a birthday with his kids, because that matters. But somewhere along the line, he's been here with a team or whoever was here with him, either all night or early this morning or sometime. You know, sometimes, you know, when you want to do something, there's this sense of, hey, it's a journey, we're going to do this together. And I remember when, as a little church, we went from meeting in a chapel over in Lindisfarne, and then we actually grew out of that little chapel, which is now a house, and I look at it now, I often ride past it. And I think, wow, we met in there as a church. Now it's just sort of somebody's house, and it doesn't even look that big. And we used to meet there, and we moved from there to Rosny College, and we had to set up every week. We had to get all the stuff and set up, and there'd be people here that you'd even remember being on teams and being part of that. I can see Paul Nightingale here, and he was on one of those teams. And you know, there's so much we remember, not even about what happened in the services, but the camaraderie of actually doing something together, of going to a new place, of having a vision to go further. The journey matters. So as we go into the new, as we journey into these opportunities, as we step into developing a new location, as we reach into new areas and help new people and more people, let's enjoy the journey. Sometimes we think, oh, we've got to get there. It's all about the destination. Well, yeah, the destination is something that we're being led to, but the journey matters. Let's commit to the journey. Let's enjoy it. Let's have some fun as we go on this exciting journey together. We are not waiting for perfection. Grant says amen. We're on our way. We're not waiting to get all our ducks in a row. We're on our way. We're not waiting to get all our stuff together. We're on our way. Listen to what Paul says in Philippians. He says, I don't mean to say that I have already reached perfection. Anybody here reach perfection? But, yeah, I reckon Rosie's pretty close, Jeff. Josh was pointing at Katie. When Katie gets as far down the journey as Rosie, she'll be perfection, mate. But I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. Come on, no, dear brothers and sisters, I've not achieved it. This is the best church planter the world's ever seen. This is the apostle that opened up so much of the gospel to take it outside of the Jewish world. This is the person who pioneered so much. And he's saying in the middle of this, when he's written this, he's He's been so far. He's been through so many things. But he says, you know what? I haven't reached perfection yet. No, dear brothers, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. I forget about what's behind me. He had a lot to deal with. He had a lot to forget. This is the guy that was dragging Christians out of their homes, torturing them, beating them, throwing them in jail. You know, when he says, I forget about what's behind, he's haunted by these faces of these people that he persecuted. And he says, that is my cross to bear in some ways, but I am not going to let what is behind me determine to what I am called and where I am going. Come on, we've all got that stuff. We've all got faces that haunt us. We've all got things that we wish we had have done differently. And they have shaped us and they are part of our journey and God will use them. But he says, don't let those things control you. Don't let those things determine where you're going. Because today is a new day. I am leading you into the future. Will you commit to the journey? Come on. And he goes on, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past, looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God called through Christ Jesus. Come on. Paul wasn't going to let his own lack of perfection stop him pressing forward. He wasn't going to let his own chaos. You know, he was thrown off boats. He was shipwrecked. He was arrested. He was put in dungeons, in jail, all sorts of stuff, beaten with rods and sticks and all that stuff. There was a lot of chaos in his life. And he says, he wasn't going to let less than ideal situation limit his calling. We're in a season of building here at the moment. There's going to be a little bit of chaos around as we go. You know, we're in a place here where we're starting to make this area work. There'll be a wall up there soon, and it's going to be great. And it's working for this season. But then there'll be some more chaos. Once we start to develop down here, we've all got to move upstairs and we've got to change around. It's going to be an exciting journey, but there'll be some chaos. Let's commit to the journey. We're pressing on towards his calling. We're going into the future. We're going into new opportunities. We're forging new relationships. We're walking into unknown and uncharted territory. We're pressing on. Listen to what the New King James Version says. Press on towards the goal, the prize, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You know, the call is always to lift us out of some of the stuff around us and actually make sure that our eyes lift up and focus on where Jesus is calling you to go. A church that continues to grow significantly in number and influence. And we've been on a journey of faith, and I believe that faith has been building in us as individuals, but collectively there's a faith. There's a faith that God will be faithful to his word. There is a faith that we can actually step into and take on new things. And what I'm saying this morning is something that perhaps I haven't talked about before. But you know what? I want you to be comfortable with growth. I want you to be comfortable with a church that has a vision to grow significantly. Yeah, in number, but it's not just about the numbers. That we don't want to grow because people join us from here, there, and everywhere. That always happens as you grow. That's fine. God leads and he places people in strategic positions and all that. That's good. But you know, ultimately, that we want to grow because people are finding Jesus. We want to grow because, you know what, he's placed us here in a very central location in all of Hobart. He's given us influence in the northern suburbs. He's given us influence, you know, down that way. He's given us influence across our city. Let's be comfortable that he's called us to be a church that grows in influence and number in this next season. Let's declare that. Let's, when we're writing those things on that wall later, why don't you declare that there'll be growth in your life? Why don't you declare that there'll be space in your life to include people? Why don't you declare that you're part of an exciting church that God is using to grow in number and influence? Babies mostly grow. And I think of our Kyle. He's 4 and he shot up. This week I went to the school athletics carnival. And he's in kinder. And he streaked the field. Like he finished. They ran 80 meters. It was, the little kids, they've cut off 20 meters. I guess not that much, but they ran 80 meters. And he finished almost a quarter of that 80 meters before the rest of his class. And I remember saying to him before the start of the race, I said, hey, we're trying to really instill that just do your best. We're proud of you, whatever happens, all that stuff. But I said, just winning's the most important. No, I didn't. I didn't say that. I didn't say that. What I said, I said, just, do your best. But I said, you just look forward and you just keep running as fast as you can till you get to the end. And as he ran, I saw his face and his eyes, and he ran straight to the end, and he kept going, and he streaked the field. But you know what? He's doing that now. But I remember when he was like so small. And I remember particularly he was quite a small baby. And as we'd go out to restaurants and people, if you want to connect with people, get a baby or a dog. And both you're on a winner, And everyone would stop and go, he's so tiny, And here he is now, he's had a little growth spurt, and he's running down, doing the 80 meters, and his legs have grown, and he's flying down there. There is something, babies actually grow, children grow. And they don't spend every waking hour thinking, I've got to grow. They think about eating, and they think about all that stuff, but they don't spend all their time thinking, I've got to grow. But they eat, they sleep, they exercise, and they grow. There's a lot in that, isn't it? We eat, we take in the Word of God, we take in the goodness of God, we take in the Holy Spirit, and then we just let it mull over us, we relax in it. We chill out a bit. We allow the Holy Spirit to do something in us, and we grow. At home, inside our cellar, we've got these marks and dates on the wall, and it's as we've measured the kids at different ages, and we've been doing it long enough now. You look back and you can see that and they've grown. And who's done, if you've done that with kids, when you get them against the wall and they normally stand on tippy toes. No, down on flat foot. And when they look at how far they've come, they're excited about it. Why is that? Because even though they're not spending all their waking hours thinking about it, they want to grow. They actually want to grow. There is something intrinsically in them that they want to grow. As kids get older, they want to grow. They're excited about it and they expect it. We don't need to obsess about growth. But we've just got to want it. We've got to expect it. We've got to prepare for it. We've got to get the right nutrition. We've got to get enough sleep. And I mean that both. I mean that metaphorically, and I mean it literally. So often, even in life, we don't do as well in areas as we could because just some real basic stuff we don't do. That we find ourselves getting stressed, and we get stressed. So what do? We don't eat well, we don't sleep well, and because we don't eat well and don't sleep well, we're more stressed, and the cycle perpetuates. And some of the stuff that we've got to do is just decide that we're actually going to make a call that we get enough sleep. Didn't have this in the notes, but I just feel, sometimes every now and again, I don't watch a whole lot of TV. But every now and again, sometimes when I've had a really busy time, it's like, I just want to chill, and that's good, we need to do that. And I'll find something on Netflix, and I start to watch it, and you watch it for a bit, and you sort of get into it a bit, and then the next night I watch it again, and then I realize all of a sudden, I should have gone to bed, at 10:30, but I went to bed at 12 o'clock because I stayed up and I binged on a few more episodes of whatever was on. And then I start to pay for it the next day. And thankfully now I just can't afford to let that get out of control with the life that we live. But it's sometimes we wonder why things are not working, and sometimes the stuff is really practical. So let's Let's take in the nutrition of God. Let's take in His Word. Let's relax in Him, you know, spiritually, but also do it physically. Let's make sure we're getting enough sleep. We're getting enough exercise. You know, what's exercise in a kingdom metaphoric sense? It's using the gifts that God has placed in you. It's actually when you... The 20th century and the 21st century would actually, particularly I think the 21st century, where there is so much information available to us. And we've got people that want to live the kingdom in theory rather than practice. We've got people that, you know, spend all their time getting this and thinking about that. And we're really, what we've got to do is exercise. Often we're getting fat. We're getting fat with all the knowledge and all the ideas, whereas actually we've got to start to exercise. We've got to start to say, well, I'm actually going to share my faith. I'm actually going to go around and take a meal to this person. I'm actually going to practice listening to somebody and loving them without passing judgment on them or waiting to express my opinion on how they can fix their life. You know, we've actually got to exercise so that we can actually grow and step into what God has called us to. Yeah, there you go. They took the steps away, which was great, so I've got to jump. Step in to this season. Own your space. Own this space. Own this community. Own your community. Own this season. This is our season. God has put you here for such a time as this. It's not someone else's season. It's not the next generation. It's not the last generation. This is your time, your season. You are here for such a time. Own it. As we step into the future together, own it. You are going to be part of shaping it. God is going to use you to break through in Hobart and the northern suburbs. You are going to be used in this. You know, I'm hearing stuff at the moment that there is a calling of God to actually shake this area that we've sort of gone into one end of. I'm hearing people talking about planting churches and all sorts of stuff. It is not a coincidence that we're here. It's not a coincidence that God chose to open up the gateway of this area to us in this season. There are lots of stuff going on, and it is your time, and He wants to use you significantly to be part of that. God will do great things in you, and together He will use us to shape and influence the city's people and generations. I'm believing the Holy Spirit will stir you and inspire you to commit and buy into the journey. And then, as God spoke to people who were in captivity, and as He speaks to us today through the same passage, He says, I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. You know what? Right now, He's breathing on new areas. Right now, His Spirit is starting to flow into new things and new areas and new places. What rivers, in a sense, there's a vision. You know, that when we got a vision, we get on the pathway. But the rivers talks about resource and filling and the capacity to be able to walk down the road. The other thing that was really interesting about my little journey, I actually borrowed a car off my brother to bring this caravan back, And Terrence and I were driving back, and every now and again there was a beep in the car. You know, is that your phone, Terrence? And it happened again, and we were checking things, and then we realized it was the car. And then after a while, with just my high level of intellect, because we were going up a hill, I worked out that we were nearly out of petrol. But it was all right, because we were nearly home. And I was quite convinced we were right. Anyway, we live up a very, very steep hill. In cyclist terms, it has ramps of 20%. That's steep. And I'm going up the hill. This old Falcon it was. And I get nearly to the top. I just stand and drive and it goes, burp, burp, burp. And Terrence will verify, I'm saying, come on, baby, we can do this. Come on. Come on, you great Australian car, you can get over the top. Anyway, we just made it over the top and I was able to back the caravan in the driveway. You know, but If there's not provision for the roads, you're not going to make it. I mean, we just made it by the grace of God. But, you know, like, he's not going to call, but the thing is, he's not going to call you into the vision almost sets the roads, but he's not going to call you into that. And he's going to bring the provision. And I believe the further we step, the more we lift our eyes, the further we're prepared to go, the more provision he's going to bring into us together and your lives personally. And I'm not talking about a prosperity thing. I'm just more just talking about the fact that as we exercise our faith, it enables God to actually bring provision. Sometimes that's emotional provision. Sometimes that's people provision. And sometimes that's financial provision. But he wants to bring provision as we step into new things. As we step into places, he's going to breathe on areas that have been previously dry. I believe that so strongly at the moment. You know, I can see it. I can see as I look through this area and as I talk to people, I can. It's like the valley of dry bones. You can feel a rattling. And you can feel it actually rattling and starting to stir. And you know what? If you know that passage that I'm talking about out of Ezekiel, God showed him something. It was the prophetic word of God through a man that enabled those bones to come together, get structure, get purpose, get flesh, and the breath of God to actually go in them that caused them to become a great army. And there is a rattling going on right now. There's a rattling going on in your family. There's a rattling going on in your business. There's a rattling going on in this church. There's a rattling going on in this suburbs. And we've got to allow the Spirit of God to come into us, and we've got to start to speak to those things. We've got to speak to things and say, no more. That's enough. We're going to speak life into that thing. We're going to say, you know, that the pattern that I've had in my family, I might have come from a pattern of domestic violence. Well, that is not my future. And I prophetically speak life into my kids and my future. We've got to start to prophesy into that. As we do that, there is going to be bones that will come together, and there will be a great army that leads us in to influencing this city and beyond like never before. He's going to breathe on areas, people, and places that have been dry. Look around you this morning. Here we are in an old furniture store. We're in a place that some people found their dreams and some people found debt that they couldn't pay. But we are proclaiming life and future and hope. We are actually releasing people from debt. Come on. God is doing a new thing. He's leading us into the future. Look around. New building, new people, new opportunity, new resource. New rivers mean streams of resource. He's going to bring resource that we can't even imagine. But we've just got to make sure that we're not contained by a lack or a poverty mentality. And I don't think as a church we certainly don't really want to think like that. But I think there's been parts of the season that we've been on where we've been contained by a poverty mentality. Sometimes you've got to consolidate a bit. I'm not being ridiculous like that, but I think let's not be contained in our thinking and our ideas. Let's not let what we think is there contain the vision and what we step into. Because, you know, there is a lot more there than you think. Because our Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. You know, he owns the gold in every mine. He wants to lead us into the future. Resource follows vision. Provision follows promise. 2 Corinthians 6:12 and 13 says this. It says, the smallness that you feel comes from within you. You know what I find is you can be in an environment like this where, you know, God's speaking to us all and we're gathered together and we're encouraging each other and we're. But we all walk out of this place and we go back to the challenges of our week and sometimes what feel like small problems, but they overtake us. And it's so easy for our minds and our thinking to start to close in. And Paul was talking to the Corinthians, the fact that they'd allowed hurt and disappointment and offense to make their thinking small. And he says, open up your lives, live openly and expansively. Let's decide we're going to live big lives, spacious lives, allow God to enlarge our capacity, walk through challenges and deal with stress. That is part of life, and a life that's called to live with purpose in a complicated world. I said this a couple of weeks ago, but if your life is not too big for you, you're living the wrong life. And it's not like, oh, I've got to find a big life. You've just got to actually live a life that is beyond you so that there's room for Jesus. You know, for some of you, that might be, you know, some great big vision in business. You know, for somebody else, it might be just taking a risk at mending a relationship in your family. Or mending a relationship somewhere. It's not about you having to say, whoa, but it's about, you know what, I just want my life to be a little bit bigger, and I don't want to be contained by these things, and I'm going to allow room for Jesus in these things. You are not small. Some of you need to receive that here this morning. You are not small. You matter. You're not small. You matter. It's just sometimes we get duped, all of us, me included, into living our life in a small way.